This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about the big scandal happening in D.C. with this CR stuff. Steve Dace joins us. Ukraine, Russia talk. Is Iran trying to assassinate Donald Trump? All that and so much more. Sean Spicer's here, too, on I'm Right. Let's have a difficult discussion, but an honest discussion. Let's discuss policy, politics, power, budget, debt. Let's do all these political nerdy things that we discuss often, but let's have a talk. Because right now the CR, the continuing resolutions in the news, what is it? It's another 3-month extension of what, though? 3 months extension of what? Of everything we're doing now. So we can get into the insanity of that, and we will in a couple moments, but think about a home that brings in $100,000 a year, spends $250,000 a year, and the home sits down to budget, and they say, you know, I think we're good. I actually think we don't need to cut anything. We're good to go. Let's just keep doing exactly what we're doing. That's what the United States government, that's what we're doing right now. It's what we've been doing. But we'll get to that in a moment. Let's set that aside, because I want to deal with something. Mike Johnson's been given a bunch of crap by me and others, and justifiably so, for the fact that he simply grabs his ankles every time there's any kind of a difficult negotiation. He'll hold out for a week, maybe, but then in the end, well, here he was today.
We loathe CRs as much as anyone, but this is the situation that the Senate Democrat leadership put us in. It would be political malpractice to shut the government down. I think everyone understands that.
Do you hear what he just said there? It would be political malpractice to shut the government down. So I want to have a talk about why this keeps happening and why, at least for the future, for now, until we get off our butts and start running Republicans out in primaries, this will continue to happen. This is not about to stop. This won't be the last one. Let me just go ahead and give the game away. They're going to pass another $1 trillion-plus omnibus bill about 15 minutes from now. It'll be in December. This is going to continue without end until the Republican primary voter starts punishing these people. But besides that, we have to keep the government open. I get emails a lot from people, a lot. A lot of different emails, a lot of different themes. Sometimes you're mad at me. Sometimes you love the show. Sometimes you're mad about this issue or that issue or Trump or whatever, but one continuing theme, you start to pick up on themes, things that people really feel is, Jesse, why do these Republicans who sound so good when they're campaigning, why do they constantly go to Washington, D.C. and disappoint us? You know, they're running as the outsider. I will drain the swamp. And then they get to D.C. and it's just swamp thing after swamp thing after swamp thing. So I'm going to explain this to you. And I'm explaining this from a lot of years of talking to the good people who are there, hearing their frustrations, hearing why things don't work. So here's the truth. Here's the truth. I want you to set this aside. I've done this analogy before, but it's the best way I can explain it. So just sit with me here. I want you to picture we're in a medieval town, medieval city in Europe somewhere. We're in, it's a big city. We're out in the suburbs of it. We're part of the peasants, you know. And in the center of the city, there's this gigantic, beautiful castle. And that's where the king and all his advisors, the entire government, they live and work in this beautiful castle. Beautiful. Only they're terrible. They pass law after law. They do thing after thing that makes the lives of the people outside of the castle hard and difficult. They're bad rulers. They do terrible things. But in this city, they have elections. And inevitably, in a government like that, people will run as reformers. You see this all the time now in American politics, so you understand what this looks like. People will run on draining the swamp. We got to clear out that castle. Vote for me, and I'm going to take the castle down. That's how people would campaign. I will take on the castle. That's how you'd be campaigning. That's how I'd be campaigning. And eventually, let's say you've got the right message, you strike the wrong chord with people, you win. All right, good. So you're in your little house, you kiss your wife goodbye, pat your kids on the head the day you're supposed to go become part of the castle, and you tell them, honey, I'm going to reform things. I will save us all. But you get to the castle, and life's really good there. It's really good. You knock on the door, they open up the gates. You've never lived this life before. Gosh, they've got a red carpet out in front of you. They have 15-20 servants ready. Hello, Mr. Kelly, thank you so much. Thank you for becoming part of the castle. We're so glad to have you here. Hey, we've prepared a special lunch, your favorite meal. And then we'll take you down to your multi-room office, 2,000-3,000 square feet. And here I am, this person from outside of power. I'm walking into the castle, and oh my gosh, look at all the gold, look at the paintings, look at the rugs. Yes, I will have an extra pizza roll. Thank you so much. I sit down, and I have a staff at my beck and call. Hey, Marty, bring me a coffee. Could someone make me a Totino's pizza? Thanks. All of a sudden, Mr. Reformer Jesse doesn't want to burn down the castle quite as much once you become part of the castle. It's so nice in there, the air conditioning. And that's exactly what you see from these Republicans. Lots of them don't believe in actual reforms at all, but even the ones who do, most of them run as reformers, want the right thing, stop the insanity, drain the swamp. And then they show up at the castle doors of Washington, D.C., and it's a large staff. Yes, Mr. Johnson. Yes, Mr. Speaker of the House. How about a private jet for you? We've got your security waiting for you right outside. And all of a sudden, stopping the corrupt government that is abusing you and abusing me gets less and less and less important the longer you spend within the walls of that big, beautiful castle. So again, I will ask you, Mr. Producer, if you don't mind, to play the Mike Johnson cut again, but this time as you watch it, you're going to watch it through a different lens. You're going to see exactly what I mean. We need Mike Johnson, the GOP. We need the House of Representatives to save us from a government that is destroying our way of life. We need them to step up, be the reformers, burn down the castle, and yet, because they become part of it, they speak like this.
We loathe CRs as much as anyone, but this is the situation that the Senate Democrat leadership put us in. It would be political malpractice to shut the government down. I think everyone understands that.
Why? You know, we're all tied up and wrapped up in the presidential election. Dome, Kamala Harris versus Trump, who's up in the polls, who's going to win the White House? We're all wrapped up in that, and it is very, very important. But did you know the reason you can't afford eggs? It's not the White House. It's Congress. It's the money they spend, trillion after trillion after trillion, money pouring out the door. Honestly, tons of it going to foreign countries. We just found out another, what, $375 million more for Ukraine. Money for this special interest, money for this country, money for this, money for that. Congress spending money like drunken sailors. Faster they can actually bring it in. The GDP, the debt to GDP, is at World War II levels. We are spending as if we are fighting a world war that will decide the future of the planet, only it is peacetime. What is happening right now is the destruction of your way of life, and it is happening inside the walls of the House of Representatives. And as long as the GOP remains in love with the castle and thinks it's their job to keep the government open, well, we got to keep things going. It's our job to govern. As long as we have that mentality on the right, then honestly, it doesn't matter if Kamala Harris gets elected or Donald Trump gets elected. If Congress keeps spending $1 trillion more than they bring in every single year, your way of life will end. I'm talking about everything you know and love. As the value of your money craters because of Congress spending money, your life will get worse. Your housing will get worse. Your health care will get worse. Your food will get worse. Your children will have a lower standard of living than you, and their children after them will have a lower standard of living than they do. And all this is happening because governments simply cannot stop spending. Democrats who are trying to burn the country down want the government open. As long as Republicans have this stance that they have to go along with that, then it doesn't matter who wins the White House. We are finished. Until we change the GOP, until we change the mentality of gotta keep the castle doors open, we're already finished. That is what we must change. And in case you're sitting there wondering how we change that, primary elections! Politics is not voting for president once every 4 years. We have got to drop this despicable mentality. The Republican members of the House of Representatives and the United States Senate should go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning in mortal fear of you, that you are going to get involved in a primary and run them out of office, and they don't have the tiniest bit of fear of you. That's what we have to change. Talk to Steve Dace about that now, host of the great Steve Dace Show. So, Steve, we got another CR. Surprise, surprise. Of course, they're lying that we're not going to get another omnibus, but you and I both know we're going to get another omnibus, and it just frustrates me to no end that this is the destruction of our lives, and people don't know, they don't care. It's all about Trump, Harris, and it's just everything continues apace.
The juxtaposition yesterday that occurred, I have to tell you, Jesse, is one of the most stark I've ever seen. On Tuesday, Kamala Harris said she'll end the filibuster in the U.S. Senate so that we can have demonic, state-sanctioned, ritualistic child sacrifice codified into the U.S. Code with no regulations and no restrictions at all, okay? And just a couple of hours after this, Nebraska Republicans said, we can't even be moved to reallocate one electoral college vote through the normal legislative process. And instead, we'll just make it that Kamala Harris does not have to win a single Sun Belt state to win the presidency. She doesn't have to win Arizona. She doesn't have to win North Carolina. She doesn't have to win Georgia. She doesn't have to win any of those states to win the presidency. We're going to make it easier for her to do so. And if that is not one of the most, if not the most vibrant portrait of the two parties here, then I don't know what is. And as I said to my audience on the show today, brother, this is not a sustainable coalition. I understand we have to win this election here in the next 40 days. I understand what is at stake when people who want to end the filibuster to do child-sanctioned or state-sanctioned child sacrifice systemically across the country get power. I understand that. But when this thing is over, win or lose, there needs to be, brother, a real conversation on about structurally where we are on the right. This is not a sustainable coalition. It's just not, okay? If one side is willing to say, we will go to the mattresses for the most wicked policies you could possibly imagine, and the other side is like, we won't even move a single electoral college vote via a special session, then this plays itself out. Look at, brother, look at Zelensky earlier this week. So if you want to know the real reason Republicans want to keep the government open, guys, it's Ukraine. That's the real reason. It's why they never offered any leverage to get Ukraine funding. Ukraine is in whom we live and breathe. All right, they're the holy grail of the governing class. That's why they want to keep the government open, to keep the Ukraine grift going. Well, how did Zelensky repay McConnell? Ukraine is the most important issue in the country. How did he repay Speaker Mike and all these people? He went to Pennsylvania, autographed some missiles, and endorsed Kamala Harris for president. It's one thing to say we have to vote Republican to put these guys in office, even if they're terrible, because they'll at least be speed bumps and things of that nature. But they're now taking the weapon out of the holster of Democrats and just pointing it right at us now and shooting and just joining into the firing line. We have to have a long conversation and sober one, Jesse, when this election is over, about the path forward. This is not a sustainable coalition. It's just not.
Well, Steve, I don't disagree with anything you just said, but what's not sustainable is vile demons crawling across a mile of broken glass naked to vote in every single election, top to bottom, presidency, school board, mm-hmm. Democrats, 50% participation in primaries, and Republican primary voting losers, and that's exactly what they are. Can't be bothered to turn off the football game on Saturday, to go down, vote for school board, vote in a primary, vote out the incumbent. Oh, they've all got a Trump sign in the yard and a MAGA hat, and I love Trump, and they vote once every 4 years, and they think that's political involvement, while the other people vote mm-hmm. every over the other month, it seems like. We can't win like this. We have no chance. None.
I wholeheartedly agree. On the right, we treat our citizenship like it's a baby mama or baby daddy. We just impregnated somebody and just walked away. That's the full extent of our parenting. All right. So however long it takes to vote every 4 years for whoever the latest GOP savior of the country is, that's the alpha and omega of our citizenship. Even fewer of us vote in 2 years, every 2 years in the midterm elections. Almost none of us vote in these primaries and local elections. Again, I mean, the people are the problem, ultimately. And the fecklessness and listless vessel aspect of the GOP is a reflection of the people. And if I may be blunt, it's not my show to say things like this, but you did invite me on. I mean, the reality is there's not a huge market of money to be made telling our own audiences you are the problem. And that's why very few people do it, even though many more people beyond just you and I realize this. Okay. And that's where we are. And if you look at, I mean, I can just tell you what we see at the Blaze, for example. The day Nate Silver flipped his forecast to Trump, which he did for like 2 weeks, but the day that happened, most read piece by far we had on our site that day. And that the horse race stuff, these fake PSYOP polls, tell me that the liberal media who hates me have my guy win in and my bet's not big and then I'm pretty. Our people eat that crap up like catnip. They'll accept the dumbest stuff. Like the whole brothers be flipping at the barbershop crap Fox News pulled out a few months ago because boomers are tired of being smeared as racists. Meanwhile, we're winning white married women by 4 points, which is just beyond inexcusable and why we lose elections. I mean, we are fundamentally broken on the right, just fundamentally broken. And we need to have a serious, like, papal enclave, you know, Council of Nicaea level discussion about how to move forward after this, because we need Trump to win. He's also 78 years old and they keep trying to kill him. All right. So what's the actual plan here?
Yeah, what's the plan here? All right. I can't let you go without asking about this piece on the Blaze about how every issue is theological. I thought it was a wonderful read. Talk about just what you were talking about.
There is no such thing as secular, and there never was. And what you see is that the American left sold this lie while the Judeo-Christian worldview had dominance in the culture. And then after it got through pecking away at that and watering it down, and it has hegemony and authority now, now it's coming out and being clean. Yeah, there's no such thing as being secular. And watch us now operate with the religious level of fervor and zeal. And here are two iron laws, universal truths of the universe, regardless of time, era, custom, or culture. Something will always rule. Something must always be worshipped. All right. And you're seeing that play out now. We're attempting to come up with secular slogans for moral issues. And the other side is just flat out saying we're going to kill babies to Molech and put it in the code and call it Roe v. Wade. And here's the thing I can tell you about history. I Just Want to Be Left Alone has lost in every history book ever. And whichever side believed in the most rightness of its cause wins every single war ever. Make of that what you will.
Steve Dace of the Steve Dace Show. Thank you, my brother, as always. Well, I would tell you after that I'm going to have trouble sleeping tonight, but that would be a lie. I don't have trouble sleeping anymore. Now, I've traditionally been a pretty good sleeper, but I guess it happens with age now. You know what's crazy? I have to watch when I have a cup of coffee. In my youth, I used to be able to down a big cup of coffee and half hour later knock out for an hour long nap. Right? But I guess as you get older, it happens. But if I'm in that place where I don't feel like I'm going to sleep, I go right for my dream powder with Beam. I love hot chocolate anyway. Mine is cinnamon chocolate. It's delicious. I warm up a little glass of milk, little scoop of Beam in there, mix it up, and just sip on some hot cocoa before bed. Only it's got natural things in it that are going to put me to sleep. And when I wake up, I'm going to feel good. You want to wake up feeling good every day? You can do that. Go get some Dream Powder. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk a bit more about the culture of assassination we already have. You and I have had this discussion many times recently. But the big story of the day, I should say one of the big stories, one of the big highlights of the day is Trump was briefed by the government about Iran and their intention to assassinate him. And look, the reporting is this. I'm just going to tell you what's being reported and what was told to Trump. The reporting is that Iran, who does hate Trump ever since he approved the removal of Qasem Soleimani from planet Earth, Iran has wanted to kill him ever since. Okay, well, that in and of itself is not major news. American presidents have been persona non grata across the globe for centuries, right? But in this case, Iran appears, if we believe everything, it appears that they are trying to make it happen. There is possibly an assassination team or teams right here within the borders of the United States of America trying to murder Donald Trump. And that is the briefing. And the thing about this is, one, I'll get to the I don't know if it's true thing, but if it is true, we should already be responding militarily. It is. I'm not trying to sound like a bloodthirsty monster. I'm actually a big-time non-interventionist anymore, just kind of hands off as much as humanly possible. But if there is any nation out there that is trying to murder any one of our politicians, it's not just Trump, Republican, Democrat, I don't care who they are. If a nation state is trying to murder one of our politicians within our borders, then people in that nation need to die. Now. Not if it happens, not a threat, now. Start turning people's homes into rubble. Start making sure there is a penalty known to the world that you don't get to sit and threaten the lives of Americans or you will die. I know you think I'm some kind of monster. I don't give a crap. That's how foreign policy has to be conducted. Without that fear, they have no incentive to stop. So we should already be seeing people die for this, period, end of story. That's one. Two, I don't know if I believe him. I'm supposed to believe the same intelligence agencies who've bent over backwards to remove Donald Trump every step of the way? I'm supposed to believe the military-industrial complex that wants an elevated war at all times because, after all, their sons won't die, but their stock portfolio looks good. And maybe they're telling the truth. I don't know. How would I know? But here's what I do know. I do know that American politicians, including the Secretary of Commerce, repeatedly use language like this after two assassination attempts.
What he says is the opposite. It's just another lie. Like, how did we get here? Let's extinguish him for good. We have an answer. We have a remarkably talented candidate who is sincere, who's pragmatic, who's open. Let's just get it done.
Let's extinguish him for good after two attempts on his life. Joe Biden himself, president of the United States of America, went on The View, said today that Trump should be squashed like a bug.
Then he just wouldn't go. He was like a bug. He just kept being there. He was like a bug right there. Zzzz. So you felt.
So. Intelligence agencies in our borders want Trump dead. The media wants Trump dead. Democrats repeatedly go on TV and practically call for his assassination. And you come out today with a headline telling me Iran wants him dead. I'm sure they do. Maybe it's all true. But I don't believe anyone anymore. And that's not my fault. That's their fault. If you institutions want that trust back, you come earn it back because you can no longer demand it of me. That's a fact. All right, let's talk about the weaponization of this government with a man who's been the victim of that weaponization, Jeffrey Clark. Before we get to Jeffrey, let's get to this. I had dinner on, was it Monday night? It's Monday night. I had dinner on Monday night with Pure Talk. They came into town. And you know who they brought? Some military dudes, Medal of Honor recipient. And we all sat down and we just broke bread and talked about life. You want to talk about the most genuine people in the world who share your love of country. They share your values. The money you send to Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile gets used against you, against your country, against your values. When you switch to Pure Talk, you not only save a fortune, man, you're supporting people who are our people. It's nothing to switch. You keep your phone, keep your number, or get a new one. They have all that too. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. You won't regret it. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeffrey Clark, who was fully committed to corrupting the DOJ on Trump's behalf.
When they raid your house and they take all your electronics and they're parking black vans outside your house and they're following you sometimes and you know your communications are being monitored, you know, it can tend to have an impact on you. I think they expected me to cave, but I couldn't, I won't, and I will never do that.
I'm excited to talk to Jeffrey Clark again. I'm excited to talk to people who are victims of an evil regime and are standing up and being brave about it. Joining me now, former U.S. Assistant Attorney General. He's now a senior fellow at the Center for Renewing America, Jeffrey Clark. Jeffrey, obviously, that's a little trailer for a documentary you have out now. For those unfamiliar with the Jeffrey Clark story, I would hope people who watch this show are, but for those who don't know what you've been through, what have you been through?
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Jesse. So in a nutshell, it's this. I was an assistant attorney general nominated by President Trump in 2017, went through confirmation hearings where Al Franken and Dianne Feinstein and Sheldon Whitehouse tried to take me out, but failed. And they held me up, though, for a record 14 months. And I finally took office on November 1st, 2018. I ran the Environment Division and spearheaded a lot of President Trump's energy policies in the courts to keep them safe from interference. I mean, there are all these leftist groups that try to deindustrialize America through that mechanism and who also try to interfere with our military readiness by, you know, getting injunctions to shut down military activities and military training activities. So it was important work. And I was so successful at it, actually, that there are 7 litigating divisions at the Justice Department. And as a result of my successes in the time I was in the Trump administration, I was given a second division to run, which added 1,000 lawyers to my under my rubric. So that's 1,400 lawyers total, the civil division. And in that capacity, in part, and just because President Trump reached out to me and we wound up in meetings with Representative Scott Perry, I wanted to look more deeply at the 2020 election and irregularities and fraud in that election than any of my other colleagues at the Justice Department wanted to do. And so I proposed a particular strategy on that, aspects of which are privileged. I have 2 letters from President Trump's lawyers instructing me to take executive privilege, lawyer-client privilege, deliberative process privilege, and something your viewers, listeners may not have heard of, which is law enforcement privilege. And so I have to honor that. But parts of the story have become public. The January 6th committee came after me. They had a whole dedicated day attacking me. There were first sealed proceedings in the D.C. bar that came after me. Now they're public. And then Fani Willis indicted me last August, along with President Trump and 17 others. And so, you know, I've been facing that criminal case. I've been facing the bar. And until recently, I was named as one of the I was one of the unnamed co-conspirators and unindicted co-conspirators in Jack Smith's D.C. case against President Trump. But after the Supreme Court immunity decision on July 1st, Jack Smith saw fit to drop me out of that. So the two arenas I'm still battling in are in Georgia State Court with Fonnie Willis and with the D.C. Bar here in Washington, D.C.
Ugh. Did you have your home raided?
I did. That was in June of 2022. My house was raided, and you're seeing some of the footage of that now, and then the interview I did with Tucker Carlson about that. And it's clearly was coordinated, because the very next day after my house was raided by DOJ, the January 6th committee did their focus hearing attacking me. The entire hearing was my former colleagues at either the White House counsel's office or the Justice Department attacking me and arguing there's no basis for investigating the 2020 election, which is laughable.
Okay, so this sounds like you're being treated as a criminal for working in an official capacity. I guess from every layperson like me who doesn't understand all the intricacies of the law, how is any of this legal? They can't just kick in your door and raid your stuff because they're angry about January 6th, right?
Well, you would think that's right, Jesse. That's a very good lay understanding of it. And I think, you know, it accords with the Supreme Court's understanding after the immunity decision, which is why Jack Smith had to drop me out of his superseding indictment. But they certainly tried to come after me. And look, I still don't know why they granted the warrant to come and take all of my electronic devices. Indeed, I still do not have, you know, 2 1/3 years later, my 2 iPhones back that they seized. They returned my other electronic equipment, but they did not, like computers and laptops, you know, thumb drives, et cetera, but they did not return my 2 phones. And I still don't know why, because they won't show me a copy of the affidavit of what their basis was for raiding my house in June of 2022. Still totally unknown.
Okay, let's shift gears. That's just a beyond frightening case. I hope people are aware of the implications of all this, but let's shift gears and speak a little bit more elaborately about the DOJ and the FBI, because the problem is we have an institutional trust crisis in this country, and it's reached such a level that I'm not positive it can be repaired. 2 different times someone's tried to assassinate Donald Trump, and the American people are forced now to wait with bated breath to hear what the FBI has to say about these things. I'm sorry, Jeffrey, I don't trust anything anymore. I don't trust the DOJ. I don't trust anybody in the federal government. I hate where that is. I hate that I'm there. But as soon as they speak, I assume it's a lie for political reasons.
You know, I can't push back on that super hard, Jesse. I think, you know, notwithstanding the fact that there are pockets of people who are still uncorrupted, I think that they've weaponized the hiring at both Maine Justice and in the many of the U.S. attorney's offices and in the FBI. You know, they brought in DEI people, people who believe in wokeism, people who only think that one side of the political spectrum and competition in America is the valid side. They think of domestic terrorists. All the domestic terrorism investigations they open are against conservatives. Occasionally, they try to do something that's equal opportunity so that they can say that it's, you know, not only an operation directed at conservatives. They've gone after Catholic Latin mass goers. They've gone after parents in school boards. They've weaponized the National Security Division of the Justice Department and their counterparts in the FBI to go after the parents at school boards. I was at the Justice Department when 9/11 happened in my first stint there as a political appointee for Bush 43. And I'd been there, you know, like a week, 2 weeks when that happened. And, you know, then the Patriot Act came, and then we got the National Security Division made the 7th division of DOJ's 7th litigating divisions back around 2006. I was there, you know, for these things. And, you know, to imagine that they would be turned inward on the American people and on conservatives is just, it's mind-blowing, but that's where we are in America in 2024.
That is where we are. All right, I can't let you go without asking about Kamala Harris and her career, because she's been obviously lampooned as being a lightweight in various ways, certainly an intellectual one. So she's out there telling people that she's a prosecutor, you know, one of these hardcore DAs who's been throwing the bad guys in prison. Jeffrey, you did some digging into this. What did you find?
Well, I ran, you know, Westlaw searches, and, you know, if you have access to that database, and any major media operation should be able to get that access and to run the searches themselves. Never ran it, never asked her for any proof of which cases she had actually first chaired as a trial lawyer prosecuting criminals. All of, that I've seen is a Politico article by a reporter named Eric Hay, H-E. And I corresponded with him a bit. He was kind enough to tell me what he'd done. He does not have any transcripts of her having tried a case. He says he's reviewed them, but he's kind of a little vague about them. I'm trying to, like, see if I can find access to those transcripts. But when I ran the Westlaw searches, there's just no evidence that she was a lead trial lawyer on any criminal prosecution in California when she was in the DA's office, when she was the DA herself, or when she was the attorney general. And, you know, there's also no evidence that she appealed, you know, argued any appeals, briefed any appeals. There's no evidence that she worked on any habeas corpus cases. It's just a giant empty black box.
DA to AG, and she never tried a case. That is something else. Jeffrey Clark, my brother, you come back anytime, and we wish you the best in all your struggles with the government. Never tried a case. The woman's entire life is a facade. Everything. Like you said, it's just a big black box. We'll talk to Sean Spicer next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than the championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to know what's happening with the election. And it's not that I can't see headlines and things and read poll numbers. You can do that, I can do that. But I'm not an election insider the way Sean Spicer is. Sean Spicer has lived this life, and I can look at numbers and think, wow, that looks great. And Sean will calmly explain to me why I'm a moron, and those numbers don't mean anything at all. So I want to know who's winning the presidential race. Joining me now, my friend Sean Spicer, host of the Sean Spicer Show. I don't know why you're not tuning into that every day right now if you want to get boned up on all this stuff. I do. Sean, okay, polls here, polls there. There's a new poll every freaking day. But I am seeing something that's pretty consistent, and that's Trump looking competitive in Virginia. Sean, how can he compete in Virginia and lose Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin? That's not a thing that's possible, right?
Probably not. And I think there's a good chance he can win them all. Look, okay. I here's a little stat on Sean Spicer that you probably didn't know. I was the last Republican elector in the Commonwealth of Virginia in 2004. This is unbelievable. I thought it was just Biden. I live in Virginia. This is where I've been active in politics for the last 25, 30 years. There is something that people just are ready for change throughout Virginia. And Donald Trump, in poll after poll, the Virginia Commonwealth poll came out, it was within one. Everything that we're seeing is defying the expectations. But here's the thing, Jesse, and this is where the national media wants you to do the shiny nickel up here. NBC comes out with a national poll showing Kamala Harris up by 4 points. We don't vote nationally. They don't want you to pay attention to what matters. There are 7 battleground states. Yes, Minnesota. Yes, Virginia, potentially New Hampshire, that the Trump campaign thinks might come into greater focus. But let's just agree on the 7 battleground states. In every single one of those states, and we're talking 90 plus electoral votes, it is within the margin of error, within 3. Neither candidate leads the other candidate in any of the 7 battleground states by more than 3 points. In fact, the highest RCP average, the Real Clear Politics average, is Donald Trump up 2.8% in one state, meaning this could, all 7 could go Donald Trump's way. They could go half, they could go none. But I'm telling you, the media doesn't want to tell you how close this race is. And it's all going to come down to whichever side gets their vote out, in particular gets these low propensity, the voters who vote 1 out of 4, 2 out of 4 times, or are newly registered.
Okay, Sean, let's walk through this. Sorry to bore you with a lot of the details, but they fascinate me. Virginia in particular, this is not a red state. At least it has not been. I lived there for a year. The state's really blood red, except for that northern D.C. part where all the dirty commies live. But they're chafing at Democrats. Is this Glenn Youngkin's leadership? Is this inflation? Is this immigration? Why? Why is Virginia going the other way?
It's all of the above. I think Glenn Youngkin's done a great job as governor. And by the way, those commies are my neighbors, so be careful.
Sorry, Sean. Sorry.
But it's everything. I think that we've done a great job. Hung Cao, the Senate candidate, reaching out to Asian communities. He's a Navy veteran. He's doing very well in the Hampton Roads area. There's a huge Vietnamese and Korean communities in Northern Virginia and Annandale, et cetera, where he's really sort of done a fantastic job bringing the message of the party to. It's not one thing, Jesse. It's a lot of everything. It's crime in Northern Virginia and in Richmond. It's immigration and the impact. It's inflation. It's concerns about national security throughout the state, but particularly in Hampton Roads, where there's a lot of veterans. So, but the bottom line is, and then here's how it's translating. Just to kind of, we are one of the early states. We just started early voting in Virginia. And if I did this on my show last night, you can go to my YouTube page and watch the whole thing. But we had James Blair, the political director of the Trump campaign, on. After just a few days of early voting, and again, this isn't, you know, the Republican vote is up over 200% early vote compared to 4 years ago. People in Virginia are saying, I'm going to bank my vote. I'm going to get out there. And one little PSA that I want to explain to people. In Virginia, if you want to vote early, you can cast your vote. You know, you can get a mail-in ballot or whatever, or you can go in person to your election board. If that's where you want, if you want to cast it in person, go in person, cast your ballot. But right now, it costs on average about $12 to $15 for what we call ABEV Chase, absentee ballot early vote chase. Meaning I know Sean Spicer or Jesse Kelly is going to be a voter. I want him to get out there and cast their ballot. I'm going to chase them to make sure that I know what their plan is. They're going to do it. They spend about $12 early in the campaign. Every time you don't vote, if you wait till election day, they'll have spent about $100 on you to get you to turn out to vote. So the more that you bank that vote early, you're saving the campaign per voter about $80-$85. So just remember, the more that you can go out and cast that ballot, however you feel comfortable doing it, you're actually giving the campaign more resources to go after another voter that might be lower on the propensity scale to go out and vote. So you're helping conserve resources and make the campaigns spend their resources much more wisely.
See that, everyone? I told you you were going to learn something. Don't act like you knew that before Sean came on here and told us. So get your vote in now. Okay, Sean, let's switch gears here, because the other 3 Rust Belt states, it's something people talk about a lot. If Trump wins one of those and does what he needs to do in the Sun Belt, he's going to win. And we lump them all together, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. But those are, in fact, three different states, right? So what are the differences? What are we looking at? Where are we strongest? Where are we weakest?
So the interesting thing is I would rate them Wisconsin the weakest, then Michigan, then Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, everybody is paying attention to. The key point that you made early cannot be underscored. If Trump holds Arizona, North Carolina, and Georgia, which I fully expect him to do, all he needs to do is one crack in that blue wall, one of them. If he picks off Michigan, Wisconsin, or Pennsylvania, he returns to the White House, full stop. Harris needs to carry all three. So I think that they're ranked probably pretty close. I think that Pennsylvania, I think Trump has the greatest likelihood of winning 19 electoral votes there. But Michigan is really interesting. Ironically, the public polling has her up the most there. And I actually think if I had to rank it, I would put Michigan's next because auto workers, young black men outside of Detroit, and the Arab population in Michigan are three factors that play into Donald Trump's favor in a state that is talking about, I mean, in 2016, he won it by 10,703 votes, which is 0.22%. Now you move over to Wisconsin. Wisconsin to me is like Lucy with the football. I feel like we have a really good shot there. It will not surprise me in the least if we win that on election night. But I think there's just something that concerns me a little bit about the youth vote there. Now, again, how Trump does with college-educated men or young college-aged men is going to be really interesting. The polling is weird on this because they don't have a lot of history, right? You know, if you're 18 or 19, you haven't voted before. So you're trying to figure out, will they actually go cast a ballot? But I think that Wisconsin, to me, is interestingly the closest when you look at it. It's dead tie. I mean, like, you when you look at the polls that come out, Trump won up, Trump tie, you know, tied, Trump up won, Harris up one. Those three states, I think, on election night are going to come down to the wire. But I could, if I were a betting person today, I'd put more of my money on Trump in each one of those states than I would on Harris.
How about that? Sean Spicer, go tune into the Sean Spicer Show. Sean, my friend, I appreciate you as always. I feel so much smarter now. I'm going to take all that info, and I'm going to go tell friends and family and act like I came up with it. Give Sean no credit, then I look smart. That's how it's done. It's Light in the Mood time. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And Joe Biden is, for some reason, trying to do a little mini press tour right now. It's probably a little image rehab tour. And he sat down with The View, and man, it was just priceless.
Did you feel that your hand was forced? And what is your relationship with Speaker Pelosi now?
My relationship is fine. Look, I never fully believed the assertions that somehow there was this overwhelming reluctance of my running again. I didn't sense that. Mm-hmm. And although the polling, as I said, Biden's polling was different, the fact of the matter is my polling was about, we're always within range of beating this guy.
Yeah.
And, what I did was, I think there were, it makes sense. There were some folks who would like to see me step aside so they have a chance to move on. I get that. That's just human nature. But that wasn't the reason that I stepped down. I stepped down because I started thinking about it. You know, it's hard to think of, I know you're only 30, but it's hard to think of, it's hard for me to even say how old I am.
He's so bitter, so angry. It's so beautiful. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.